Okay, if I can show you just to close the door. So Rabosai, let's summarize where we're holding in this sugya. We're on Daf Beis Amid Beis, about to make the transition to Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. And the entire transition begins with the word Ella, which is three lines up before the end of Beis Amid Beis, that Ella. That's the word that you want to bold. I would put a big Roman numeral number 2, you know, at the point of Ella. So let's just summarize Roman numeral number 1. The first understanding of the sugya. We have a principle called tainas onus, which means that when a person does something because of circumstances that are beyond his control, he is not held responsible for those actions. Correct? That's called onus. And Rashi is going to tell us here on top of Gattav Gimel and Aleph that the source for this in the Torah, that a person is not held liable, for actions that were ba'onis, is the pasuk v'lanaro lo sased dov. Correct? And that's Rashi on the fourth line down, the fifth line down from the top of Daf Gimel Amid Aleph. V'lanaro lo sased dov. Now, if that be the case, we understand very well back in the Mizonos scenario that if he couldn't marry her at the end of the 12-month period because she got sick or he got sick, which are circumstances beyond his control, he should not be held responsible for delaying the marriage. And therefore, he would not have to pay the penalty of paying Mizonos for her up until the point of the couple. And that's called onus. If that be the case, if a person makes a condition, and now we're getting into our sugya of get, he gives a get and he says, this get will be chal im lo bas, if I don't come. Supposing he wanted to come, he did everything in his power to come, but circumstances beyond his control prevented him from coming. Does anybody remember that very dramatic case? What was it that prevented him from coming? Do you remember?
The bridge collapsed,
right? So if the bridge collapsed, then for sure he's in a situation of onus. So is that considered low bussy? I mean, here the guy is standing on the other side of the bridge, and he's saying, Chazuda soy, Chazuda soy. So the Gemara says, Lav Shmei Masi. It's not considered that he came, and the Tanai was fulfilled. But really, in effect, he was onus on the Kiyama Tanai, and the Tanai was not fulfilled. Because the Kiyama Tanai ba'onus does not constitute a Kiyama Tanai. So if he has to make the get into a get by not coming, you cannot say that he did not come. He really did come, but he was prevented from coming. Aaron, you mind closing the door there? Just like,
oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. Oh. So therefore, the first conclusion that we have to come to is that this get should be invalid. And why? Because the get was given al Tanai, and the Tanai was never fulfilled. Why wasn't the Tanai fulfilled? Because Yesh Onus, the principle of Onus, operates throughout the Torah, and it always undermines a person's actions and nullifies them. What that which is done by onus is not considered a maaser. So now I want to share with you a piece of Torah that I found in a sefer called Sukkas David on Masechet Ksuvos. And Aaron, I want to thank you for taking the trouble to photocopy it. So if somehow we could divvy this out, there's one page here which is called Daf Lamed, so you give that out first. And then we give out page Lamed Aleph. So if you can keep it in that order, so you'll be able to follow what he said.
There's Lamed.
And what we're looking at here is Os Sadi Aleph. And he quotes a Beis Yosef, who in turn quotes the Sefer Aguda. So we're talking now about a late Rishon. And here's the discussion. And this is based on a Sugin Gid. If I sell you a piece of property in a walled city in Israel, which is called Batei Arei Choma, then the Torah, at the end of Parshas B'chu Kosai, gives me, the seller, rights to buy back the field with or without the consent of the buyer, whether he likes it or not, up until the end of a 12-month period. That's the Torah law. And that's called Geulas Bayis Be'ir Habukefes Chom. So again, the seller is guaranteed that even though he had to sell his land, he can get it back. He can redeem it. And all he has to do is pay back the buyer the exact sum of money that the buyer paid when he purchased the field. But he has to do that within 12 months. And the sugya discusses a takanas hillel. What was Hillel upset about? That he had to make a takana, which in effect sort of changes the Doraisa law. What the sellers used to do is, what the buyers used to do was that, suspecting that the seller would come back at the end of the 12-month period, you know, it's almost, you know, D-Day, you know, it's the bell is about to ring, you know, midnight, the Cinderella of the 12-month period. So what did the seller do? What did the buyer do? Nitman. Nitman means he hid himself. Like, go find me. Because you want to give me back the money. Until I accept that money, you haven't done the act of redemption of Geula. So this seller, this buyer, is very clever. He makes sure that he's nowhere to be found. You know, he's out there in the safari in South Africa when the 12-month period comes to an end. So Hill made the following takana, that the seller is allowed to take the sum of money, plop it on the desk of Beis Din, and say to Beis Din, it's up to the buyer if he wants to take the money. If he doesn't want to take the money, it's irrelevant. And now the seller could break into the field, literally break the chains, and re-establish ownership over his field. Oh. But what do you see from this? You see from this that if not for the takon of Hillel, the sellers are in deep trouble. Why? Because they may show up within due time, at the end of 12 months, but lo and behold, there's no way of finding the buyer. So the Aguda asks, wait a minute, why can't the seller in this case claim onus? I did everything in my power to come back to the seller within the 12 months, to the buyer within 12 months, and offer him and give him over the money and redeem my field back. The fact that he's nowhere to be found is not my problem, that's onus. Those are mitigating circumstances beyond my control. So the Aguda comes up with a fascinating answer. He says, you know why the seller cannot claim onus? Why did you wait to the last minute of the 12 months? Where you been for 12 months, my friend? And he coins a brand new phrase. Ones biyom achron.
Yeah, but who said that maybe he tries for the last month to get it? In other words,
does
Allah say it's the last day or the last month or the last
2 months? He has until the end of the last 24 hours of the 12-month period, but you know, we're not expecting that the buyer is hiding, you know, for a couple of months. Okay. But again, this was the scenario. So, but the point that I want to make is that the Aguda says that onus biyom achron lav shmei onus. You can't claim onus if you waited to the last minute. You know, it's like lahavdil, but I'm just giving an analogy. A person wants to dab mincha at the right time, so he looks at his clock And he says, look, you know what? It's not Shkia until 4:30. I got plenty of time. What's the rush? You know, and he has, there's a shtievel across the street. He could have caught a minion every 5 minutes. Like where I live, there's something called Imre Shefer. We call it Imre Schleffer, but whatever it is. There's a minion every 5 minutes. So he, no, he's going to wait till the last minute. You know, he's got plenty of things on his plate, plenty of things to do. He's gliding through there and this and that. So he says, I'll wait till the last minute. What happens at the last minute?
There's no minion.
There's no minion, or he breaks his, I don't know what, you know, and he gets called out, and it starts pouring, and the bridge breaks, and he can't get to the shtiebel, and so forth and so on. Says the Aguda, Ones biom achron lav shmei ones. You can't claim ones in this case. You were what we call it chilas of epshia, but so bonus.
There's a lot of mice with all the tashlumin that always.
Exactly, always what's going to be in tashlumin? A guy's going to say, "Look, I can be mispalat feels tashlumin because I was honest." Yeah, buddy, a knapper honest. Where were you for the first 5 hours of
minute? It's always hard to define that tashlumin issue, right. Isn't it?
Well, that's a love to Shesugia. Yeah. You know, when are you considered onus, right, and when are you considered mazid, right, and when are you considered shogeg, and all the discussions, and so forth and so on.
Since when can you, through onus, acquire something? I can't, like, show up to a store after they close, and or even before they close, and say, like, I'm here with the money.
No, the seller forfeits his right to be gold the soda. Why? Because lo ba yud beis chodesh. He didn't come for 12 months. Says the Aguda, even though he came within the 12 months, he didn't find the seller, he didn't find the buyer to give the money, but he can't claim anus. Oh yeah, I fulfilled the tenai here that completely undermines my claim to the field. Why did I complete it? Because, says the Aguda, where were you for the first 11.9%, you know, 99% of the 12-month period? Where were you? You don't have the right to say I was honest biyom ach. In any event, Rav Osai, let's take the Aguda first at face value. Ones biyom achron lav shmei ones. Does anybody have a kasha? What happened in our case? When did the bridge break down? On the last day of the 30-day period. He says, Imlo basi shloshim yom. He comes on the last day and he's yelling, Chazun v'asoy, I'm here before the bell rings, before the deadline. Why? Because I couldn't come because the I'm an anus. And the Gemara says that is a valid time. It's anus. Until we get to Roman numeral number 2 in this sugya, Elam Arava, and that's going to be a Takonis Chachamim. But before the Takonis Chachamim, he has a claim of onus. And Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Anara Lo Sasadova. That's against the Aguda. The Aguda says that onus v'yomach. Where were you, my friend, for the first 29 days? That's the kasha on this Aguda. So that you'll see. What we just did here is the paragraph at the beginning of Tzadi Aleph, and the Aguda applies this to a case of a shvuah. A man takes an oath that he'll do something within a 30-day period. And during the 29 out of the 30 days, he could have easily fulfilled his oath. But he waited till the last moment on the 30th day, and he was onus. Says the Aguda, lo mikri onus. So now we have two cases where onus v'yom achron lav shmei onus. We have the case of the buyer, of the seller who comes to redeem his field from the buyer, and he was onus on the last of the 12 month. And now we have the case of a person who took an oath. And by the way, this oath may have monetary implications as well, because sometimes I take an oath and I say, if I don't do this for you, then you know you'll be able to claim my whole field or something like that, ownership of my field. And he wanted to do it, but he was honest. Well, who was the honest on the last day? Says the Aguda, no go. That's not a claim of honest. Vaktos achoshen. If you fast forward to the bottom of the of that column, hikshol. He says, "In name of the Shaitan is ones, bebatim can yiksham." Okay, just 1 second. Okay, so this is a little bit of Tzadi Gimel. Let's fast forward to Tzadi Gimel. You have it. The hine aktsos achoshen hiksha od. It's on the same page. I don't know why you're. Oh no! You have it on 2 pages. Sorry. Yeah, you aren't able to get on one page. Yeah, it's because it's too. He says, Misug Yasenu. The Diek Hachala Hareze Get, Hokiach Hashas, the Dien Onus Vigil, the Ragada, Lama Chala Lo Mishum de Hayachal of Okorim Chala. He could have come before he got sick. So why is that called Onus? Now up to Tzadi Dal. What's Chidush HaGrach, Rabosai? Anybody know? Rav Chaim who?
Brisker.
Excellent. Rav Chaim Brisker. So we always love a good stickle from Rav Chaim. Okay. Yeshnei Minei Tnoi. There are two types of conditions. Rabosai, I'm going to try, without looking, I mean, I read this already, so it's no Cha, but to try to see if I can reconstruct this Rav Chaim before I read it a second time. I read it once. Because this way I test myself to see if I can cop what he's saying. There are two types of conditions. In one type of condition, a person has a responsibility to do something within a period of time. He can choose for himself when he will live up to that responsibility and when he can fulfill it. In other cases, the time period is itself what creates the transaction. In other words, in the first category of Tanai, every moment presents itself as an opportunity to fulfill that condition. In the second category, the condition is only fulfilled by adding together, so to speak, sewing together the entire period of time into one unit. So let's take, for example, the case of Geulas Bayis Be'ir Mukefes Chom. Do we have to say that for 12 months he refused to begol the Sada, or he made no effort to begol the Sada? Or are we saying that we'll give him a 12-month extension, and somewhere within the 12 months but not beyond, he can begol the Sada? And the answer is, somewhere within 12 months, the Torah gives him a period of time, an extension of time, and whenever he gets around to it, he can be goel, but not beyond that extension of time. Is Memela says the Aguda, you had this entire period of time, from the beginning the clock was ticking, take any moment of time out of this 12-month period and be goel your Sada. Don't come to me at the end of the 12 months and say you were honest. The same thing if a man takes a shvu, he takes an oath to do something by such and such a deadline, 30 days, right? So look, my friend, you could have fulfilled that obligation any time within the 30 days. You have no right to say, I'm going to delay it to the last moment. Take into consideration that you might be honest on the last moment. Take precautions. Masha Ein Kein in the case of a get. The Tnai of the get was lo bossy liyud beis chodesh. His lo bossy has to be, what word am I looking for? Has to be made up of, okay, I was thinking of a better word, but it has to be made up of 12 months of lo bossy. It's not that he's giving himself an opportunity within 12 months to come by. It's more than that. He's saying that if I don't come for 12 months, if 12 months of not coming is a reality, right? If that comes to fruition, then the get is chal. Let's see it inside. Yeshnei shnei minei tnoim, he says. Aleph, shazman eno bi'etzem shal atnai, and bei shazman hu mi'etzem atnai. Dahainu al menashe tishamsheni avi gimel shanim zazman gimel shanim yetsam atnayu. Like, let's say, for example, I say I'm willing to do this transaction if you work for me for three days. You have to work for me for the full 3 days. The full 3 days as one unit becomes the kiyum atnay. And therefore, if you're missing part of it, you aren't mekayim the tnay. Avol, but here's the following case. Al menashe titin limana b'tog shloshim yom. let's say I'm going to give you up till 30 days to give me the mana. Az ein azman me etzem hatanai. Therefore, kishe nishba tosh shloshim yom, harei bechol rega shel tosh shloshim yom yochel l'kayim t'nai. Any moment he can be mechayim t'nai. Elo what? We're going to give him up till a certain point. L'cheinim nenas b'yom achrim ein ze onis, harei yochel ayu l'kayim mikodem. Avolkan in the next paragraph, shehis the imlo bossi mikavat shloshim yom hakavana de beinon lo bossi shal shloshim yom. He needs a full 30 days of lo bossi, and if you subtract one day of the 30, then there was never a kiyuma tanai, because the lo bossi was only 29 days and not 30 days. That's called tainus onus. So it doesn't matter which day is lost, which day is missing, which day of the 30 days he was onus, he got sick and he couldn't come. At the end of the 30 days, we could say, was there 30 days of Lobasi? It's the 30 days of Lobasi, all told, that conglomerate of all the time, of every single second and fraction together, that makes the Kiyuma Tanai. But you can't say that he was Lobasi for 30 days, because at least on one day, he was honest and the bridge broke down. Just out of curiosity, how many people understood that?
I the second part.
He doesn't hold above the...
He does hold. He's different. This is not that case.
Correct. He's saying that the Aguda is talking about a case where at every moment you have, so to speak, a responsibility to fulfill the Tanai. We'll give you up until a certain date. But since any moment is potentially the Kiyuma Tanai can be collapsed into one split second, then he says you have no right to delay this until the last moment and say, well, the bell rang early, you know, because I was honest. No, that's honest b'yom achrim. You should have taken it into consideration and prepared due process. But then there's another kind of tanai, says Reb Chaim, where the tanai is, let's say, here's a classical case. I make a tanai that you serve me, you know, you be my butler for 3 days. So that means that not at any particular moment you could be Mekayim the Tanai. The Kiyuma Tanai is 3 days of service. 72 hours you have to serve. He says that in the case of Im Lo Bossi, the Kiyuma Tanai is 12 months of Lo Bossi. There's a Lo Bossi for 12 months. Every single second of 12 months has to create the Kiyuma Tanai. That means that if one moment of the 12 months was Anus, then you don't have 12 months of Lo Bossi.
So why is it with the field? He can also say it's 12 months of not.
No, the Torah is saying within a 12-month period, do this Maisa of Geula, come buy and give the buyer his money back and redeem your field.
He's enjoying the money.
Any moment is precipitous. Is worthy of fulfilling the Tanai. It's not that the Torah is saying, well, for 12 months you were silent. It's not the calculation integration of the total sum of 12 months. It's that 12 months is the deadline. So when the time period is just a deadline, but really the Kiyuma Tanai is one action within one split second. That's when the Aguda says onus v'yom achron lav shmei onus. You had plenty of opportunities, and now the deadline passed. It's too late. I'm sorry, buddy. And that's why Hillel had to make a takana, because the buyer was disappeared on the last day. He pulled a fast one.
From where does he get one day? Like, why draw the line in a day? Why not the day before that? Or 2 days before? 3 days before that? Like, what?
Again, whatever is reasonable to assume that you might hit an onus situation. In every case, it'll be different. You're right. There may be scenarios where it's more than a day or less than a day. But given a period of time where there's an element of negligence on your part, hey, buddy, you left it for the last moment. You know, let's say the trip takes a day, and you left it for that last day. Any unforeseeable circumstance, which now should be foreseen, would therefore make it impossible for you to be kind of tanai. That's called onus v'yom achrim lav shmei onus. Don't hide behind the claim of onus. But again, I think, Aaron, the most important point of Reb Chaim is this one, that there's another kind of a tanai, like the case of Tisham Sheni Shlosha Yomim, where it's not that you can fulfill the Tanai at any moment within a certain period of time and we're offering you a deadline. No. What we're saying is that the Kima Tanai is the sum total of a period of time. Whatever you have to do in order to be Makayim Tanai, you have to do for an entire period of time, an extended period of time. And therefore, every moment has to be Mitzurav, has to be integrated to the Kima Tanai. Because the Kima Tanai is the total integration of all that 12-month period or 30-day period. Now, if I subtract one day out of the 30, then there was no Kima Tanai and the get should be bottled. That's called Tainus Onus. I was honest for one moment out of the 30 days. I don't have a full 30 days of low bossy. So take a look at Tzadihe. You have Tzadihe, right? He says, "Ulefi zeh yotzei chiddush gadol." He says, "According to Reb Chaim, there's an unbelievable chiddush. Im chol yom echad b'tocha yudbeis chodesh, yezeh tainus ones." According to Reb Chaim, forget about the case where he was chole on the 30th day and he's yelling dramatically, "Chazuda soy, chazuda soy." If he was sick for any particular day within that period of time, you don't have the full 30 days, so you only have 29 days.
So therefore, if we add another day, is he okay?
No, because again, the get has to be validated at the end of the 30 days. If at the end of the 30 days you can't validate it, then the get is batel. And why can't you validate it? He's got a tainus onus. It makes no bit of difference whether the tainus onus is the last moment of the 30 days or the first moment of the 30 days. At the end of the day, you don't have 30 full days of lo basi. The yiksha, he says, now I don't understand. Halo kamapam bitoch halam and yom yesh paska mavra. Are you telling me that the bridge only brought, again, this is figure. You don't have to take the case of the bridge and get stuck on it, but stuck on the bridge. But what if the bridge breaks down somewhere within the 30 days? It only broke down on the 30th day. Any day, ilu hayaba. Okay, so this I don't think you have lamed beis. I'll just finish it up. He says ilu hayaba lakan lo yachol avra nor al yidei psikas hamavra. If he would have come on day 10 of the 30 days, and the mavra was broken, then the whole tanai is bottle yesh tainus onus, and the get is invalid. And v'zeu derech hamavra lios pa'amim. You know, sometimes it's reliable, sometimes it's broken down. V'chein im yeh betoch yud beis chodesh. Let's get back to our case. Lo basi eza onis. As he comes down with strep, Rachmana Litzlan, on one day that whole year. Now, who could go through a whole winter and say that, you know, he didn't get sick one day out of the entire winter, especially if you live in the cold climate? So maybe there they get less sick because they're so used to it. But you follow what I mean? So he's saying, if Reb Chaim is right that you need the sum total of 12 months and not anything less than that of low bossy, what if he had the sniffles, you know, somewhere in the middle of the 12 months? So he says a chiddush. So lomar, hakavanu rakisha rotzel lovo, he has to demonstrate that he wants to come, but lo yachalova de paska mabre or chola. It's not enough that he comes along and he says, well, I wanted to come, but I couldn't come. No. Tainus onus would be when he made the effort to come, and then something unforeseeable happened. So that period of time is subtracted. So it comes out that ein chinam. If let's say he decided to come and be mevatel the tanai, midway through, 6 months down the line, through the 12 months, and lo and behold, as soon as he comes to the city, Paska Mavra, that period of time, that day would have to be scratched off the calendar, and you have no 12-month period. It's unbelievable chiddush. So that's what I wanted to share.
That's
what I was very excited about this. Yeah.
How would that work? Who would be monitoring the fact that he was on this? I'm saying,
maybe you'd need two aides. Now that's an interesting question. I love this. Who has the burden of proof? Meaning, I think it works like this. He gave her a get. Now he wants to be mevatel the get. So where is the burden of proof? Is the burden of proof on her? You know, because she wants to. But just one second. Let me get that right. She has a cheskes eishes ish. He wants to break up the get. and therefore he's supported by the Cheskes Eishes Ish, so he would be believed. Or do we say no, that she's holding on to the get? Right. If the get itself has like a cheskas kashrus until there's a bittul atnai, then he would have to prove that there's an onus and therefore the tnai is batel. And he'd have to bring two eidim to prove that he was on his way, he did every effort, he bought the tickets for the train, and the train broke down.
Burden of proof is on him.
On him. But if on the other hand you want to say the following, that since she has a cheskes eishes ish, to be machshir the get, you have to prove that he wasn't onus, and this is going to come up in the sugya here, on daf gimel, the tznuos and the prutzos, right? Then the assumption is, until we know otherwise, then that the get is kosher. Now the burden, right? That the get, we need proof to establish the get as a get kosher, because she has a cheskes eishes ish. The get is coming to undermine the status quo.
The get is kosher. It's just
I'm saying these are the two ways. One way is to say the get is kosher, and therefore the burden of proof is upon him to prove that he was mevatel the get. The other way of saying it is that no, the ishus is kosher, so to speak. That has a life of its own. Like, for example, let's say a husband goes out to war. So the burden of proof is on us through Aden to prove that he died in war. Why? Because she has a cheskes eishes ish. We can't remove that chazak until we have proof positive. Here too, you want to establish the get, she would have to prove that he wasn't honest. And this is going to be the sugya here of tznuos and prutzos, which are about, we're about to walk.
So
without further ado, go ahead. Answer.
He shows up, he says, but I was honest 6 months ago. And she says, no, you weren't. He says, I have two Edom.
So that's a question. Oh, if he has two Edom, then there's no...
She's out of her head.
Then the get is batel, and she's married to him. And he's very happy to be married to her, because obviously, he doesn't really want the divorce. He wants to give himself a 12-month period to want the divorce. Again, it could be that he'll die in battle. You know, anything is possible. And therefore, you know, he would want to get to Michal. But basically, he's not motivated, you know, like a normal case of a Baal who decides, I want out of this match. He's giving himself 12 months of low bossy to make the get into a get. And he's claiming that there was an onus.
The Bezdin allows this sort of, even without a war or whatever. In other words, the Bezdin allows this?
Yeah, so far, I don't know. I don't know anything.
You're like, it's such a thing with it tonight. That's
yeah. Yeah. The next part, Ella, which we're up to now, let's read it inside. Ela Rava Svara Dinafshe Kamar. Now, what this means by Svara Dinafshe is that Rava instituted a new takana based on his own logic, and he didn't like this tonight. So, Byron, we're coming back to your point. Do we like that? We don't like this tonight. This tonight is going to create tremendous headaches. Those headaches fall into one of two categories, Snuos and Prutzos, as we'll soon see. And because of these headaches, to avoid these headaches, Rava decided ain't onus begin, which means that if you don't show up after within the 12-month period, finito, there's no bitul atnai, there's no titus onus, the get is automatically
bound. Doesn't mean that
let the wife get married.
Or it doesn't mean that there's no tnai lechatchila. In other words, we're not allowing tonight. In other words,
no, forget fakir. Rav is saying the get is valid because he didn't show up.
No, I'm saying
he didn't show up because of onus, irrelevant.
No, I'm just asking, you can establish a law that we don't allow tnai period. In other words, you give get in period done. There's nothing else with it. It's not going that far.
No, that far we're not. We're not doing away with tonight. I mean, that we're not saying, but we're saying that we will not accept the tiniest onus. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
You didn't show the get is valid. Okay. Now,
what
problem is Rava solving?
Yeah.
Imagine the following scenario. He's out in the Far East, and she's here in Yerushalayim. Again, in the old days, you know, we don't have, all this modern technology. So she doesn't know 12 months passed, and he didn't show.
Yeah.
So the Gemara says, it depends who the she is to decide what her reaction is going to be. Let's start with the easy case, the tznuos. The tznuos are very, very religious-based Yaakov girls, you know, they got skirts down to their toes, you know what I mean? And she's thinking to herself, wait a minute, he didn't come for the next 12 months. Can I get married or can I not get married? She's thinking to herself, you know what? Maybe he caught sick. maybe he fell, you know, fell off a high tree and he broke his leg or something. I don't know. Why didn't he show up? I don't know why he didn't show up. Maybe he was onus. So if we assume yesh onus begitin, and she's afraid that he's out in the Far East and he's screaming, you know, I'm trying to come. She can't hear him because he's all the way in China. She's not going to get married. And that's an aguna situation. Okay, that's number one. Then we get to number two. These are the prutzos. These are the women who aren't so frum. You know, these are the dropouts. So what do they think? There's a rumor going around, a very strong, it's called in Hebrew a kol, a rumor, to the effect that he's trying to get her and to be mevatel the get. She says, no. He didn't come and that's it, I'm getting married. Chaps the first guy and she gets married. Then what happens? He comes back with Abim, let's say, to prove Pascha Mavra and I was an honest. What happens to the children that are born from her second marriage? They're mamzerim. So we gotta do away with this. Let's take his tanai and ask ourselves, did he come or did he not come? I'm not interested in whether he's honest or not. And if he comes back with Adim to prove that he's honest, irrelevant. The get is valid because the tanai was mekuyim literal.
He didn't come.
Okay, so let's see inside because he didn't come. Ella Rava Svar Dinafshi come. Mishum Snuos, Mishum Prutos. Mishum Snuos, the E Amrit Lohavi get, if when he shows up and he proves that he was an onus, therefore the Bittel, the Kiyumat Tanai was bonus, and therefore there's no Kiyumat Tanai, that's going to be Mavatal the get. That's going to create tremendous problems. Therefore, we're going to say, says Rava, that Ein Tainis Onus begin. Which means we're not going to accept onus. The E Amrit Lola Heavy Get. If you're going to tell me that onus is valid to undermine the get, Zimnin on Daf Gimel. The low onus. He's not onus, but she's here and she doesn't hear from him one way or the other. She doesn't know what's going on in his life back there wherever he is in the backwoods for 12 months. This sovereign, she thinks, or she's worried, lest onus. Umi agna. The agna is a verb for the aguna. The yasmin, she sits there without getting married. Now we have mishum prutzos. The amit lola heavy get if the h tainus onus and the onus undermines the get. Zimnim sometimes the onus, and there's a very strong rumor to that effect. The amra, but she says, look, the guy didn't show up. I don't have to worry about anything. Lo onus. As she says intuitively, I know he's not an honest. You know, he wants to get to Bichal.
What is that?
The Oslo Mislava. Okay. Let's go slowly. I just want to get through. Taich, as we say. You know, then we'll see what's happening. The Oslo Mislava. She goes in and she what? She gets married. The Nimtza, he comes back with his, you know, his Adim, and he proves that he was honest. The Nimtza get Batel. The get was invalid because the Tainus onus. Ubanei mamzerim, and her children are mamzerim.
How can you ever consider that mamzerim if she waits the full amount? She gets married the next day.
Yeah, but the get is not a get.
And then he shows up afterwards.
The get is not a get.
It's not feasible.
Again, Rabotai, keep in mind, mamzerim has nothing to do with penalties and punishments and negligence. Irrelevant. A mamzer is a mamzer. That's all.
That's our mistake. In other words, that's the halacha's mistake. We've set up a system that doesn't work because we're saying you wait the year. If he does not return.
Wait, are you before Rava or after Rava? Again, before Rava, you have to wait a year and guarantee that he was low bussy.
Okay, so that's what she has.
In other words, if a man gives a woman a get al tanai and she wants to get remarried, she has to be doggone sure that the key there was a key al tanai.
How long does this prutza have to wait to see if the husband?
I don't know. Right now it's irrelevant. In theory, you have a very good question. In practice, it's irrelevant because of Rava's takana.
I'm saying, let's put Rava.
Post-Rava. But pre-Rava, how long would she have to wait?
How does this work? Right. I mean, it doesn't seem...
She's right. Not going to wait.
It doesn't seem
so that's the subject of this posters here. The Sovra Dionis. So let's already... Again, the real juice of the sugya is coming up in the next few lines, but we'll... we'll overcome that for the sake of your question. V'savra the onus, says Tosfos. Min adin. We're talking about snuos who go beyond the letter of the law. We're talking about prutzos who fall below the letter of the law, the requirements of the law. What is min adin?
Yeah.
How does halacha deal with this situation if the Rav, you know, if somebody asked the Rav and the Rav had to pass? Says Tosfos, leslan lemechish dilma onus. Who? There's no need to worry about onus. Again, I would have said not like that. I would have said, wait a minute, 12 months went by. You know, I mean, he's not around. You know, he's nowhere to be found. Let the man say something. You know, let him come into Bez, then we'll investigate him. No, I can assume that there was no onus. Why? De Ruban lo anisa. So what principle in halacha is Tosfos willing to operate with in order to allow a married woman to get remarried? Rove. Very fascinating. Because I'll tell you the truth. It's against the sugya in Masechta Gittin. The Gemara says in Gittin that if a man goes out to war and he never returns, even though Rubam Lemason, we cannot let her get married. Unless there was one aid and the Chazal made a takana. I'm not going into all of that. The many takonis that were made in this situation. But if there's no witnesses whatsoever, I mean, the Gemara even goes very far. The Gemara says he fell into the ocean, you know, off a ship, but we can't find his body. I mean, today this is Mamish Maisim B'chol Yod, with all the terrorism that we live in, you know, and what is it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that the Russian plane was shot down? I don't know if they have the remains of, what was it, 200, what was the number of? They're still debating, you know, whether. I think now they finally admit that it was a terrorist.
Yeah, those cases in the Twin Towers were.
Twin Towers. So Lamaisa, they were able to be martyred 10 women. I mean, it took the highest echelons of Besdin to find her terror. You know, in the case of Beagle Eisen, for example, he spoke to his wife on the telephone before he perished. He phoned her. And he said goodbye to her. He said, "I'm out." You know, and that's how they were able to be martyred. In other cases, we weren't so lucky. There was, they wouldn't. You know, the telephones weren't working when the Twin Towers were going up.
It's Rabbi Ovadia. Sorry, it was the whole thing with Rabbi Ovadia. I think it was in the Yom Kippur War, the 6 Day War.
Yeah.
Educate the people because they had to get the proof that they died.
Right. So I'm just saying that even though Rove, there's a very strong Rove that the guy is dead. And the Gemara admits that there's a rope.
And there's somebody saw it and somebody.
But we don't have his body, we don't have Adam that saw him die, then she remains an Aguna. Again, we'll try to solve the problem of Aguna, but if there are no solutions, she is an Aguna. Ein ma lasot. You can tell your NCSY kids that the Torah is compassionate, but that's really not exactly true. The Torah is not totally compassionate. That's it. The Torah gets very harsh. Oh, so what I'm asking is the following. You see from the sugya of Ashes Ish, Shev Baila, Nafal Atok, Mayim Shein Lem, Sofet, Rove is not reliable. Why? Because the Cheskas Ashes Ish is so powerful that Rove cannot stand up against the Cheskas Ashes Ish. She remains in the Chazak and the assumption that she's married. Here, Tos is willing to say that for 12 months we don't find him, and most people are not honest.
That's Ashes Ish.
It's Ashes Ish. You can be Mater and Ashes Ish based on Rove. How do you figure this all out? Ulahachi correlates snuos. So why are they called snuos? Shemachmirin al atzma. They don't want to rely on a rove. Very interesting. You know, the halacha, for example, is that if a person who's unidentified comes and starts shechting animals,
right,
you're allowed to eat from the meat. I would not want to eat from the meat. Not that I'm such a frumo. The Gemara says, Rov Mitzune Tzil Shchita Mumchen him. We don't test him, we don't know him, we don't even recognize him. But Nistama, he's okay. I don't know, I feel very strange about it. She feels very strange about relying on a Rov. Again, we don't even understand how the Rov operates here because it's against the Cheskas Eishes Ish. But Lama Zogin, that will come up with some answer to that problem. But she intuitively doesn't want to rely on the Rov. I would give her a salash for that. You know, I would not say that she's being overly frum. You know what I'm saying? Oh, the Gavi Prutos. So why are the Prutos regard?
Right.
I don't get it. They're relying on Rov. Most people are not honest. He says, Lo gar sinon v'savra delo onis. The girsa that we have on the top line of Agamara is savra delo onus. Right? No, not the top line, I'm sorry. Mishum prutzis the amit lo levi. Right? Okay, so this is not our girsa, but on the third line, this in some of the svarim, it says v'savra delo onis. But rather the Amra Shalom Anus. He verifies the text as we have it printed. In other words, our printing of the Gemara was after Tosis. If you would have had a manuscript Gemara before Tosis, there's a good chance it would have said Visavra Lo Anus. Now what's the difference between those two words? They sound almost identical. She thinks that he was not Anus, or she claims he wasn't Anus. Says Tosis, she claims he wasn't Anus. Afal pisha yotza hakol di onus. There is a call that says he was honest. The call weakens the rov when we go back to the Cheskes Eishes. She really technically should not get married. Amra delo onus. Now again, she's a prutza. Does it mean that she violated the Iser Eishes Eish? Are we going to put it to death for this? No, I don't think that's what Tosis means. She's a prutza, meaning she should have been machmer on herself. Had she gone to the rov, the Rav would have said, you know what? This is a shaky kind of Rav. Very flimsy and unreliable. There's a call, a very strong rumor that the guy was on his way. You know, somebody heard him, you know, buy the tickets for the locomotive, and somebody else knows that there have been problems with that train. It's like going on Erev Shabbos from Manchester to England, to London. You know, I had this experience on Erev Shabbos. And the train breaks down. So the rumors floating around. She says, you know what? I don't want to rely on rumors. I got a rove. I got a rove in my pocket. I'm going to rely on the rove. Technically speaking, she did not violate the Iser Eishes Eish. This is before Rav, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why? Because even before Rav, we have the rove. And Tos says the rove is enough to be mine. But there's a reis on the rove. So the question is, what's the status of a rove with a reis? So, you know, there's a little bit of a fault, a default in the rove, a defect in the rove. It's a defective rove. So a defective rove is also considered a rove. But she, you know, she doesn't deserve a talash in this case. Why? Because she should have avoided this situation. Oh, afil kishetayda hi atzma di onis. Oh, now we get to a real prutza. This is the prutza with a capital P, you know. She knows that he was honest. But the only thing is, there's no evidence to that effect. Somehow she got privy to this information, no one else knows about it. Is therefore, she is a prutza gemura here by getting married, knowing full well he was an honest. But again, she feels she's protected by the law because there's no evidence to that effect. This comes back to the original question that Eben raised earlier. Where is the burden of proof? And it sounds like the burden of proof is to nullify the get. Until we can prove in a court of law that he was an honest, the get has its own chazok, its own life of its own, and she therefore can get remarried. But now the Gemara asks a bomb question. Fekta Gemara, umi ika midi demidaraisa lo avi get umishum tznuos umishum prutza sharina nation sichli alba. Again, he has a tainus onus according to the Torah law. Velanaro sasidov. And yet, Rava is afraid of catastrophes, of a terrible situation that will arise, and therefore he nullifies any tainus onus. And the get is chal. But on a deraisa level, the get is not worth the paper it's written on. It's totally invalid because it was a bitul tnai. There was never a lo basi of 12 months. Mirtzoni, it was onus. Can we be matir and eishes eish based on a get that's not worth a dime? It's an unbelievable question here. This is one of the most dramatic lines of all Shas. We can do it. The Chachamim have the power to somehow take this get and validate it, allow a married woman to get remarried to a second man as if the get was kosher when the get is not kosher. Why? How? Called Mekadesh Adaita Rabbanon Mekadesh. Yafkin Rabbanon Likidushim. So if you take this Gemara literally, it's very problematic. What do you mean called Mekadesh Adaita Rabbanon Mekadesh? Anybody who gets married, he leaves it up to the Chachamim to decide whether his marriage is valid or not. Is that really so? Rashi, B'dochak, Rashi wants to get out of this problem. What's this called? Mekadesh Adaita Rabbanon Mekadesh? Rashi doesn't clarify it as much as Tosfos. Tosfos says Adaita Rabbanon Mekadesh. Then we'll go back to Rashi. Lekach omer b'shas kedusha kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. So kedas Moshe means is a reference to the Torah shebichsav, and Yisrael is a reference to Bezdin. That only if the Chachmei HaBezdin accept my kedushin and they're happy with it. So now the Gemara says that the Rabbanon have been granted by the Mekadesh a certain authority and control over the kedushin. And Afkin and Rabbanon the kedushin, if the Rabbanon are not happy with what he did, and they decide, you know what, let's invalidate the kedushin, we can do so. And we're only halfway through the sugya. But look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Afkeinu Rabbanon leKedusha k'sheyavo get kazeh achrei." It's not, says Rashi, that the Rabbanon could all of a sudden wake up and say, "We don't want this kedusha." Rashi says they could use the get. There has to be a seder advarim over here. There has to be a structure. The structure is that he gave her a get, and the Rabbanon are going to validate this get, and through the validation of the get, they will activate the principle of Afkinu Rabbanon LeKedushin.
How are they? If they're given the power over the Kedushin, then how can they enact the get? The get is like outside the scope of Kedushin, no?
They're not really enacting the get. They're being Afkinu LeKedushin. They don't really have to activate the get. But Rashi's pointing out that the Rabbanon will not just carte blanche say, we don't like this Kedushin. Move their nose and say we don't like the
game. Couldn't that then result in Mamzer? Because now you just nullified a relationship that existed and possibly had children, no?
Oh, so the Gemara is going to ask a slightly different question over here. Not exactly your question. Now, what's the status of a woman who lives with a man outside of the framework of Kiddushin and has children from that man? Those are not mamzer, correct? Those are not mamzer. So what we're doing here by applying the principle of Afkinu Rabbanon LeKedushin Minei is we're saving the problem of Zeris that's going to come up in the case of Prutos, for example. We're saving the problem of the Aguna situation in the case of Tznuos, and there's no mamzeris whatsoever. Even though this man has been living with this woman for the last 50 years. The Rabbanon now mafkir the Kedushin as if they were never married. So for 50 years they were living in sin.
That itself doesn't engender a chazaka that they're married. On like a totally deraisa level. Oh. When a man and woman are together.
Wow, that's a heavy question.
At least.
So what the Gemara is going to say is that the bia was a bias nus. So you're asking, but they didn't intend it to be a bias nus.
Yeah,
but you have to understand that this is the famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, that their consummation of the marriage and their acts of bia of intimacy throughout the marriage were all predicated on the fact that they were married. It wasn't as if he, every time he had bia with her. Yeah, but that's not so posh. That's why the Rogachov never accepted this, because the Gemara says call out Boel is ain't other Boel bilasos bilas nus. It's a person never is Boel bilas nus. So in a sense, you don't have to. How do you define that principle of ain't other Boel bilasos bilas nus? There are two ways of defining it. One way is to say that every single beer that he does l'shem ishus. The other way of saying it is that if there's any question about whether he lived with her for the purpose of free love, or he lived with her for the purpose of marriage, we always assume that he lived for the purpose of kiddush. But it doesn't mean that every time he has beer with her, his beer is potentially a bias kiddushin, you know, to create issues. So this is the great machlokus between, I mean, it goes back in time to the Rivash, like 7 centuries ago, but in our modern time, this is the pluta between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Rogatchev about conservative or reformed marriages and so forth, civil marriages. So in the case, let's say, of a civil marriage, there were no edim, and therefore the bia would be l'chora bias nus. So Rav Moshe wants to say that they're not married according to halacha, but the Rogatchev says they've been living together as husband and wife, and she needs a get. I mean, this has tremendous repercussions in it.
It's almost the Shuva was very concerned the mamzer, so that was
correct.
He saved all the
so that's what he wanted to do. And the question is, you know, whether aid him at the wedding. You know, so in the case of civil marriage, that's one thing. But if you have a Jewish marriage, again, I use a Jewish style marriage, it's very possible that there are two Adim Ksherim. In our days, for example, you know, I don't know.
The Reform?
Even Reform, I'm not sure. You know, the rabbi could be an Orthodox Jew. He's the rabbi of a Reform congregation. Okay, that's only one aid. We need another one. His wife can't be. Well, she's actually the rabbi. No, just kidding. But, you know, but let's say you might very well have, you know, two Adim. So, according to Rogatchev, there's nothing to talk about. They've been living together as husband and wife. Ain't on the most of Bilas of Bilas Nus, and the flip side of Bilas Nus of Bilas Ishus, she needs a get. So I don't care, you know, civil marriages or anything. But if you're going to rely on Rav Moshe, then you're going to have to assume that there were no Edim at the time of the marriage ceremony. And in the case of a Jewish ceremony, you know, it's not always easy to ascertain that. For example, in the neighborhood that I was raised in, so there was a conservative temple of great stature, you know, it's called the East Midwood Jewish Center on Ocean Avenue. I assume it still exists. I don't know. Well, the neighborhood became Haredi, but I still think it's there. And I happen to know personally that the shamash of the shul was a frumi yid, and he was at every marriage ceremony. So you can go on and on and on. You know, it becomes really, really sticky. So what is the final, you know, at this point, where are we holding? Afkinu Rabbanu Kiddushin, meaning the man gave a get to his wife, and he created this Tanai of Imlo Basi. Now he wants to say that he was Mevatel the Tanai, and he wants to prove that he was honest. Rava says, no, the get is a get, even if you prove that you were an honest. And how do the Rabbanan create a get out of nothing when, it's, as we said before, it's not worth the paper it's written on? The answer is Afkina Rabbanan L'Kiddushin. And the rest of the sugya, which we won't do tonight, the balance of the sugya is to try to figure out how the Rabbanan have the power to be Mafkia Kiddushin. Tosa says it's because he says Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Well, what if he doesn't say it? So we have an umdina. We assume that that's what he meant. What if he says Beferish, I am being Makadish this Isha, Shalom Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. I don't give a hoot what the Chacham is saying. His Tosis' approach is going to be very problematic in that case. Then there's no ability, according to Tosis, for the Rabbanan to say Afkir. Okay, Rabbosai.